one tail or two?
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Tea Time Horror Stories, or Tea Time Horrors, whichever you like, whichever catches your fancy. And as you can hear in the background, my cats are making themselves very, very well known. Say hello to Pixie, the one who loves to meow, her two little brats. We have Oliver and Figaro, and then we have my also lovely junior slash Sid, who's eyeballing us in the corner right now.
Pouting because we're not giving him attention.
No, I think he just wants food and he's getting tired of all the kittens.
No, I think he's just like, why are there no higher spaces for me to jump onto?
That's true. We did take the high ground away from them.
Yeah.
And every so often you might hear my dog in the background. We have our 18-year-old golden retriever, Babes, who likes to lay around and make herself known every so often. So, yep. Hello, everyone, and welcome back again to Season 2, Episode 4 of Tea Time Horror Stories. And today we are covering a paranormal myth.
Mostly myth. Because I talk like Sylvester. Yeah, whatever. The lisp.
And he's not the one drinking alcohol today, because, you know, Joe, what are you drinking right now?
I am actually drinking a tea called The Quiet Mind. It's actually really good. I spent all day brewing it.
That's right, because it's a cold tea.
It's technically, you could have it hot also, but I wanted it to be brewed in the sun, so I put about 2 tea bags of 4 scoops each, so about a total of 8. Yeah, 8 scoops of this particular tea, and set it out in the sun and let it brew pretty much all day. It is actually really good. It's got quite a lot of ingredients too. It has rose hips, apple, peppermint, chamomile, licorice root, lemongrass, elderberry, strawberry leaves, lavender, sage, and all kinds of other like herbs and stuff I don't know how to pronounce. But what's funny is that they have natural flavor in the description, in the ingredients. And it's just like, okay, so what's the natural flavor?
What is natural flavor? It's natural flavor, Joe. Don't question it. Because it's organic.
Yeah. It's actually pretty good. I really like it.
You finished a lot of it already, so...
Yeah, well, I brewed 4 cups worth. And each cup, well, when you make iced tea like that, you're supposed to double the amount. So 4 cups.
Hell if I know. I'm not the tea expert here. It was you and Yelly who loved the tea. I was more of anything that was with sugar I would drink.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
The Arizona iced tea is your go-to?
Was my go-to. I haven't had that for a long while, actually.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask me what I'm drinking?
You mentioned what you were drinking, I thought.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. So what are you sipping on today?
I am actually not sipping on tea. I'm always the one breaking the rules here.
Boo, Wendy.
I've decided to go for something of more of an adult beverage. I think I deserve it after a very long week of work and having to deal with work. And as you guys are aware, in our last episode we mentioned, we are back to work. We are no longer stay in place or working from home. We are actually working back to where we're at. I'm not going to give any details on that because, you know, we do this to escape from work and everything else. But, you know, work is stressful. Building a house is stressful, especially when you're trying to do all this in the stay in place at the same time. So yeah, it's been a very, very long week for me. So I have decided to indulge in an adult drink, and I am having soju.
Soju.
Yes, strawberry flavored soju mixed with...
Orange Crush.
No.
I thought it was Crush.
It's Fanta.
I thought it was Orange Crush.
Orange Fanta. So regardless, it's an orange soda. I shouldn't even be giving names anyways, so... I mixed strawberry soju with orange...
It's orange soda.
Orange soda. And a little hint of there's a maraschino cherry in there.
Don't you splash it with the juice also?
Yes, I was just about to say. I mix the juice in there as well. So it's kind of my adult version of a Shirley Temple in a way.
Adult version Shirley Temple. Except you use orange soda instead of...
Well, if I had Sprite... Or lemon lime soda.
Lemon lime soda.
If I had a lemon lime soda, I would use that instead, but I did not have a lemon lime soda, so I used an orange soda instead, which is just as fine with me. But I used a whole bottle of soju, and I'm very happy right now. So,
Will you get through the episode?
Fuck yeah, I will. It's gonna be interesting, maybe. Mm-hmm. Just depends. But, yeah, so I'm not sure. So as we said earlier, we are covering, this is the week of the myth / paranormal. I myself will be covering a myth / mythical creature.
Myth.
Well, I think Joe's also doing the same thing. So you're just going to get a double myth.
Yeah.
A double myth today.
Double dose of myth.
Yep. So with that being said, I hope your guys' week was fun and eventful, and I'm going to apologize again for our late episode.
Yeah,
this one is also going to be a little late as well, but it will come out for you guys to hear. With that being said, I think it's time for us to jump into what you all have been waiting for. You want a paper, scissors, rocks to see who goes first?
I said I volunteer to go first.
All right. Well, you volunteer as tribute then.
Yeah. And also shout out to Yelly because she can't be here and this is usually her topic.
I know. This is Yelly's topic. She was always the myth person. Yeah, so
Yelly, this one's for you.
This episode is dedicated to Yelly.
Our first episode for myth for the season. Okay, so getting started. Imagine you are walking through town down the street when you decide to take a shortcut through a dimly lit alley. In the distance, you see a trash can shake and fall over, and then you notice the rear end of a dog backing out of the trash can. It's just a stray dog, you think to yourself, but then you notice something weird about the shape of the head silhouetted from the shadows. As you slowly get closer to the odd creature, it turns to you, revealing the head of a human instead of the head of a dog. It starts to walk toward you, paying no attention to you as it passes. It sees that you are staring at it and says, "Leave me alone," in a raspy voice. The creature then turns and walks away towards the nearest trash can in search of more food. You may be questioning your sanity at this point, but this is actually what's known in the Japanese culture as a jimenkin, which is a type of yokai that can be found in the suburbs of Japan.
A yokai.
Yokai.
So it's a half dog, half human.
More like 70-80% dog and 20% human, because the only bit of the dog is the head.
The bit of a human.
The only part that's human on the dog is the head itself.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I want to see a picture of this.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know what a yokai is or remember what a yokai is, I think we covered it in one of the other episodes, but it's a class of monster, ghost, or demon of supernatural origin from Japanese folklore, and it covers a number of things. So, going into a little bit of the lore. The jimenkin, also known as the human-headed dog of Japan, and for some reason I quoted the dog-bodied man.
The dog-bodied man.
Yeah, so just my stupid twist on things. Earliest sightings of this yokai dates back as far as the Edo era of Japan, roughly around the early 1600s to the mid-1800s. For a little bit more accurate timing of the Edo period, it's going to be anywhere between 1603 to 1868. As the details of this yokai, as mentioned before, has the body of a dog with the head of a man and is generally about the size of a medium-sized dog. That sounds a bit redundant. It's generally about the size of a medium-sized dog. Okay, so I guess it kind of justifies that. It's often seen with dirty and matted hair. And sugar cube. Okay, so the Edo period of Japan dated from 1615 to 1868 and was the period in which the country had experienced the most peace and prosperity of its time.
That's a long period. You said 16 to 1800?
Yeah. So
that's a long period there. Yeah. Interesting.
Kind of makes you what happened to that peace.
All the creatures. People are too busy with animals.
Yeah. Okay, so the eyes are described as being sad-looking and sunken in.
Babes.
And pretty much. but picture that with picture babes with a human head and doing that.
No! Oh my, babes.
Yeah.
Babes. I'm sorry, mamas.
It's pretty, I don't want to say intimidated by other things. It's a particular word I'm thinking about. It's very not shy.
It's Duke.
Yeah, he's a pansy. They're pansies.
He's a pansy, okay.
So the reason why I say that is because they're often seen with the sunken eyes. I lost my spot. With their eyes, the sunken eyes, and the tail is usually tucked between its legs.
Duke.
So pretty much.
For people who don't know who Duke is my other dog. If you guys haven't come to realize, I have an incredibly huge amount of animals. And I have a medium-sized dog by the name of Duke, who is the world's biggest pansy and mama's boy.
Okay. During the Edo era, these unusual cryptids were... cryptids. I put cryptids instead of yokai. During the Edo era, these unusual yokai were blamed for accidents and disasters and were seen as a bad omen if you saw one. One reason being is because they are said to have hypnotic abilities, generally making an observer feel uneasy. Over time, these creatures are said to roam the streets during the night and generally pose no threat if you cross their path. Generally, it's more so most of the time. However, if you talk to them, they'll usually tell you to leave them alone, and if you persistently continue to try to talk to them or pester them to talk to you, then the most they'll do is insult you and run away. Yeah, so they're pretty cheeky little bastards.
So they'll throw like a mama's joke at you and then go for a run?
Yeah, pretty much. They'll be like F you mother effer, and then just like bounce.
That's pretty funny actually. I can picture them doing that, like flipping you off at the same time.
Yeah. However, on rare occasions, they are capable of having simple conversations with the person they run into. So
I want that.
Yeah.
I want to have a conversation with one of these yokais.
Walking down the street, see these yokais, and then suddenly be like, hey,
how's the weather?
Yeah.
What do you think of the weather? It's quite nice, actually.
Have you always been a Jamaican?
Right? Have you always been one? How's the trash hunting going? I can tell you have a good place where they throw out some good food.
Actually, that's not far from the truth. Most of the time, they're actually seen spotted running through the city of Japan. Some of the cities of Japan. More of the rural areas because, yeah, rural. It's a weird.
It's a rural.
Rural. It's a weird word.
I've had too much to drink.
It is reported that a historian named Ishizuka Hokaishi, who published a book called Gainden Bunbun Shuyo. I'm pretty sure I butchered that. In the book, he tells the story about a carnival owner in Tokyo around 1810 who heard of one of these cryptids being born. The carnival owner ends up finding the man-headed dog and using it as a sideshow creature. He used it as a sideshow creature, and as a result, he ended up making a fortune from it. And another,
was it alive?
Yeah, it was alive. And another sugar cube during the Edo period of Japan. God damn it, I keep putting that. During this particular time in Japan, these sideshows were commonly known as misen monos, which were a type of Japanese carnival and usually contain exotic animals, mounted displays, or mummified remains of bizarre creatures or monsters, gaffs, and mystical artifacts. A zoologist who claimed to have seen a Jinmenkin quoted, "They're cowering and whimpering in the corner of the display booth I saw in the hunched over form of what I first took to be typical Shiba Inu, although of a somewhat more pungent odor. Then the thing looked up with sad eyes and I could see clearly that it was the face of a human being. Alabet with the empty soulless gaze of an animal, I immediately assumed trickery upon seeing such an aberration. Yet, if one had forged such a horrific sight, then they had done so with such ingenuity and craftsmanship that I was unable to ascertain. I was unable to ascertain it as such. If this was some sort of macabre taxidermy of a living thing, then it was done without any visible indication of such. I could see no apparent stitches or artificial connection between human face and dog. I was eager to be on my way from such a ghastly abomination, and the thing's gaze left me with a deep, uneasy excuse me, with a deep unease long after I had left, hence the hypnotic gaze type of thing. So these things have the ability of making you feel sorry for them. Yeah. So it's probably kind of a thing for them to hopefully get fed, I guess.
So I would have a dozen of them. I can add this to my collection of animals, because if you just give me the most pitiful look, which most animals can, and they don't even have to try with me, I'll take you home. Jamankin, you'll be mine.
During the early 1900s, due to a high amount of claimed sightings in multiple areas all over Japan, there was a high demand to have one of these dogmen captured and filmed or photographed. During the late 80s and early 90s, there was an increase to the sightings, where there were several accounts of people who would encounter these yokai rummaging through other people's garbage. Every sighting of the Jamenkin had taken place during the night and were generally spotted in the suburbs and rural areas. Some of Some, on the other hand, have also been seen in the back alleys of urban or highly populated places. One of the more famous sightings of the Jamenkin was in the Shibuya district, which happens to be one of the more populated districts, if not the most, where it was seen by several eyewitnesses digging around through trash in order to find food. In one humorous note, every now and again they can be seen chasing cars or hiding in dark alleys. Another sugar cube. The Jamenkin is said to be incredibly fast, running up to 60 miles an hour.
Holy shit!
That rounds up to about 96 kilometers per hour. Coming close to running as fast as a cheetah, or if not, as pretty much
the as speed fast of a as cheetah. One, yeah.
It is because of this that people find it hard to capture, and you know, like, because modern day cameras can't photograph high movement speeds or whatever.
I mean, if you have a very special camera, but...
I was more so speaking out of sarcasm
for the last bit. That's crazy, though. Like, are you sure it's not half, like, cheetah with a human face on it, but they say it's a dog?
Well, the thing is that it's mythological creature, so you would expect it to have some sort of interesting abilities, I guess would be the best thing, because it already has the hypnotic gaze kind of thing. Locals believe that the Jamenkin could be the result of secret experiments that were done in labs. Others believe it to be the Japanese version of the chupacabra, while there are some who believe that they may also be the spirits of people who had died in horrible car accidents. Why they would associate that with...
How did they get that?
Like part dog, part human.
Like, okay, I got into a horrible car accident because I was trying to evade hitting a dog. So yeah. Fate is going to fuck me over by turning me into a half dog human face thing.
Yeah. It's pretty fudged up. Yeah, I know. Another and more logical possibility of what it is that it could actually be a Japanese macaque. So if you're not familiar with what a Japanese macaque is, if you've ever seen the movie Kubo and the Two Strings, the monkey that's in there, that's what the Japanese
macaque is. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I can see that.
Yeah. And the reason why a lot of people may mistake a Jamenkin for one of these macaques is because they often walk on all fours and have fur that... They have fur that resembles dog fur, especially that of a Shiba Inu, which they say they think that it is.
I can really see that, actually. I can really picture that, because macaques, they have that humanish face. Their noses are a little bit more weird, but for the most part, I can see why people would confuse that.
Yeah, but not only that, and the biggest part is that the face is generally void of any hair and is very simian, so it's very human-like.
Very macaque.
And yeah, so they have human-like faces, sort of. So that's pretty much what people more so believe it to be, but it doesn't exactly explain why it would respond back to you in a known language.
In common language, yeah.
Yeah. The Jamenkin today has been seen in the media and pop culture. For example, it was a creature in the video game and anime called Yokai Watch.
Okay.
And the creature's name was Mangemut. But it was pretty much a Jamenkin with a dog body with the head of a man, but it still had like droopy ears and it had big thick glasses, which made it even more humorous.
What the yeah. fuck?
And there is also a comic book that I have where I think it, the original artist who kind of like put together all of these different there was a Japanese artist named Renge Murata who pretty much contacted a whole bunch of other artists to do different comics, and he put them all into one big comic book, and in one of them I can't remember the name of it, but it had one of the comics featured a number of different yokai in it, and one of them was the Jamenkin.
If I'm not mistaken, I think there was a manga that I used to read that made mention of it. I think that's they've been made mention a lot. I'm pretty sure it's in popular culture everywhere, especially since it's a Japanese mythic. So I'm pretty sure they have it in a lot of their stuff. So
yeah, but yeah, that's pretty much the Jamenkin.
Really?
I told you the Jamenkin was really short.
So there's like no sightings of it or anything recently?
I would try to look up photos of it, and some of them I found were actually pretty interesting, but then there are others that like were so blurry that I couldn't really pick it out. And then when I originally typed up this episode, this was like I want to say nearly 6 months before all this stuff happened and we stopped recording. And there were maybe three or four pictures that I wanted to add onto it that I just randomly stumbled upon on the internet, and it was on the work laptop.
Oh.
And I had to return the work laptop and all the stuff that I had pulled off to the side to input onto this was kind of lost. And then when I went to go look for those same pictures again, I couldn't find them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so some of the ones that I saw were actually pretty interesting. Of course, they were really old, and it looked like it was like a taxidermy type of thing.
Probably was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it, especially if it was like a sideshow.
Yeah.
A lot of times when creatures die, they want to taxidermy it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll make the creature out of taxidermy, saying it was alive, but then it died, and this is what I did. But a lot of those taxidermies would come out as fakes, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
But the Jamenkin, ladies and gentlemen.
There's, like, a sort of painting-ish of it.
Oh, fuck.
Japanese-style
painting. It's not very human, though. That looks more like demon, kind of scary, like, I'm gonna eat your face.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the Jamenkin. As I was saying before, most of the websites and my other resources, it would all just have the same information. I tried to look for not so much actual sightings of it, but I tried looking for people who had claimed to have seen it and get their stories. But a lot of it seemed to mesh together, as in this person saw that or that person saw this kind of thing.
Hmm. Well, Jamenkin, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And now I need to take a sip of my tea.
Good, because now it is my turn. That was horrible. That was really horrible. Don't quit your day job, Sam.
Oh, it's all good.
Alrighty, so as I told you guys earlier, I am covering what we consider a mythical creature. It is one that is more known than Joe's Jamenkin, because I had no idea what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm about to tell you is something that you've at least probably have heard once in your life. I am covering the Banshee.
Tell us about this Banshee, Sam.
I'll tell you about the Banshee. Okay, so I am covering the Banshee. The Banshee is an old Irish Scottish folklore. She's also known as a woman of the fairy mound, or fairy woman, or fairy of Woman of the Fairies. But the Banshee is known as a female spirit in Irish mythology who is the herald, the messenger, the carrier of death of a family member. They are known for letting out a blood-curdling wailing, a screeching, or a neighing as they're known as, is K-E-E-N-I-N-G, kneeing.
I figured that's how you meant to sound or, like, spell it out.
Yes. But
I've never heard of that term before.
Well, I'm going to actually get into that term in a little bit, so you'll hear more about it. So, moments before the death of a person who hears this, so they usually hear this blood-curdling scream, and that's when you know a banshee's coming after you, is coming to get you. The banshee has been connected with Irish and Scottish folklore, her name connected to the mythology. Import, god damn, this cat. Like, she's just like, I'm the banshee. She's like, Pixie, are you done?
You should clip that and put it at the beginning of the episode.
Right.
So people are like, what the fuck?
What am I listening to? It's not cat ASMR.
It's actually not a bad idea. People will probably follow us for that.
Right. The banshee has been connected with Irish and Scottish folklore. Her name connected to mythological important tumaili or mounds that dot the Irish countryside. In Ireland, banshees were believed to warn only families of pure Irish descent. The Welsh counterpart, the Gronach or Gronach y Rabi or Witch of Rabin, I'm totally butchering this wrong, I'm sorry, would visit families of old Welsh, the Welsh. So basically, it's instead of if you're Scottish, you're Welsh, I went after you instead. So the banshee also appears in Welsh, Norse, and even American folklore in many different forms and doing many different death-related things. But the banshee that I'm going to be covering is more going to be the Irish, Scottish folklore part.
Okay, so because I was about to say, so what's it called? Was it a lie?
What?
Because I'm pretty sure those people weren't Irish of descent. I'm thinking of
Supernatural. Yeah, maybe. Who knows what they were. So I'm going to give you a little description. I'm sure most people, when they hear banshee, they know, you know, what it is.
They have a general idea.
I mean, they have a general idea because it's what it is. So
for those of you Mass Effect nerds, yeah, it's
a little different. Yeah. So, it is said a banshee has long, stringy, gray-like hair that streams down her waist, sometimes longer. I've read that some people say she has red or white hair. Accounts change often. Most of the time, she is seen wearing a gray or white hooded cloak over a dress. Some say it is a green dress, depending on the region of wherever you're at.
Why do I picture Merida from Brave?
I thought the exact same thing. God. When I was reading into this and writing, I'm like, so Merida, you're pissing off people. So let's see. So most of the time her eyes are a deep blood red from crying. Some say they grow, they glow as well. She's usually always weeping. They say she has a very pale, almost gray complexion. Seeing a banshee will make you become fearful almost instantly.
Now I'm reminded of the witch from Left 4 Dead.
Because
she was always crying and
but her lore was because she was left on, her fiance or husband never showed up to their wedding and she was left there crying.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I think maybe it had a basis off of the banshee. Who knows? So according to firsthand accounts by Anne Lady Fanshawe, I'm sorry, in a memorial, Lady Wild in Ancient Legends of Ireland provides more information. So this is a book written by her. This is her firsthand account or something of that sort. In quotation, the size of the banshee is another physical feat that differs between region accounts. Though some accounts of her standing unusually tall on records, the majority of tales describe her height state. The banshee's stature is usually short. Always between 1 foot or 4 feet. That I didn't know. That was pretty amazing to me. I'm like, whenever I always heard about the banshee, they were usually of like normal height or really tall, slender, creepy looking women. I never heard the part about them being short.
Yeah, it's like a leprechaun. But
right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was really weird when I read that part. So her exceptional shortness often goes along with the description of her as an old woman, though may also be intended to emphasize her state as a fairy creature. So
she's a fake creature?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. So As you can see, though, the appearance of the Banshee varies everywhere you go. I hear she's a beautiful woman, and when she attacks you, she turns into this ugly creature. When I was in Ireland and Scotland myself, the myth of the Banshee is actually a real fucking thing. Like, to them, it's a serious thing. They actually warn people not to go down, like, alleyways and stuff like that, because they're like, you can meet your death from a Banshee. See, so yeah, when I was in Ireland and Scotland, it was a huge thing. They take it very seriously. And in Scotland, which actually I heard more about the Banshee in Scotland than I did in Ireland. And in Ireland, they're kind of like, yeah, it's a Banshee, whatever. But in Scotland, they wholeheartedly think the Banshee is like a full-fledged thing.
What's that thing where it's like, if enough people believe that it exists, it actually does?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember what it's called. I know it's like some sort of effect.
Some sort of syndrome or effect.
Where if you believe it enough, it will make it come true. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't remember what it is. If you can remember what it is, let us know. But yeah.
Or we'll take it. Well, next myth episode, we'll bring it up again.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, when I was in Ireland, I brought it up and they were just like, oh yeah, the Banshee, what about it? That's not that big of a thing. Is your name O'Connell? Is your name this? And then no, you don't have to worry about it. But in Scotland, they're like, no, the Banshees are for real here. So they take it very seriously. In Scotland, they say she haunts the underground tunnels that are everywhere. And I was in Edinburgh a lot, which was where I spent a lot of my time. And they have underground tunnels everywhere there. And I managed to get into some of these underground tunnels. Two of them were from a tour, but after you've done the tour of the underground tour tunnels, you kind of learn how to get into the underground tunnels without the needing of the tour guides. And I did that. I went back with one of my friends, or not really my friends, but someone who went with me. And we're like, let's go to the underground tunnels when no one else is there, you know, because we're smart that way.
Yeah, if this is a horror movie, you guys would be first to go.
Oh, God, yeah. I already know. Like, but except I would throw her because she was a pansy. So
Spring Sage with you.
Right. So I went to the underground tunnels a couple times myself. And I can tell you for sure, besides it being haunted as fuck, like a hardcore, like you can feel it. You always have the constant feeling that you're being watched down there. And they say it is the Banshee looking for her next victim. And you'll, of course, it's just them making the tour more exciting by basically letting you know if you wander off on the tour, the Banshee's going to get you type of thing. But there was a lot of people who was kind of really convinced. So it was like really weird. So there was a time that I did go to the underground tunnels by myself. Well, not really by myself. I had someone who was with me. They didn't really want to go very far in, which was understandable because she was, one, a crybaby, and two, a bit of a scaredy cat. So I was just like, you know, okay, fuck this. I'm going to go in myself. So in the underground tunnels, they didn't have electricity at the time. So the only way for you to know where you're going is either by candlelight or by a flashlight. So there's no working lights. And like a real horror movie, the lights are usually stop working. And that's no exception, because it happened with my phone. I had my phone and I was using the light to try and guide my way, and my phone battery completely died. This is a true story. I shit you not. This is what happened to me. So as I was saying, when I went down to the tunnel, I'm not saying that this was all the doing of the Banshee. I'm saying that these tunnels are incredibly haunted, because a lot of these tunnels, what they used to do back in the day in Scotland was that they used to throw their criminals down in there, and they would literally throw them with just like one thing, and they're like, fend for yourself. And so many criminals can only like be in there at a time that they used to kill each other. And so obviously the place is haunted. Obviously there's got to be ghosts that are haunting the area. So I'm not saying what happened with my phone, it going completely dead on me when it was at least 50% battery. It completely died. The person I was with decided not to come in all the way. So she didn't stay at the entrance, but she came in a little bit and said she didn't want to go any further because she felt uneasy. I was uneasy too, but I decided, you know, I'm going to keep exploring. I want to see this. There's only once in my lifetime where I'm going to, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll go back there. But there was only like, when is the next time that I'm going to be in an underground tunnel in Scotland? So I went for it. I went all the way down to a area where they actually, supposedly, this is what they said, had a seance there because it was so haunted and there were so many spirits that a lot of mediums would go there and they would faint. So they did a ring of protection in there where they tried to seal the gates that were happening. I got to that room, my phone completely died and I had zero light. I started freaking out. I was trying to find my way back in pitch darkness, pitch black. And sure enough, I hear a fucking scream. I was just like, I'm going to fucking die.
So what kind of scream was it? Was it like a...
But this is the thing. Okay, so I know... I'm not going to say that I know how a banshee sounds like because I've never heard it. But this was just like a normal girl scream. Honestly, I'm pretty sure it was the person that was with... And she probably got spooked and she ran because when I got there, she wasn't there anymore. And she was back at the hostel that we were staying at. And I was like, what the fuck happened, Erica? Why did you leave me? And then she's like, I freaked out. I thought I heard someone in there. I'm like, yeah, that was me.
Oh, my God.
And then she left me behind. Totally just fucking left me behind. Yeah, I'm calling you out, Erica. If you're listening to me right now, I am calling you out. So
so much for the buddy system.
Right. So, yeah. Right. So if this was a horror movie, I would have just totally been fucked anyways. So, yeah, there was a large scream and it wasn't like the cringe, like the crud, like the what they're
blood curdling.
Yeah, the blood curdling. This was just like if someone just got really fucking scared, they screamed and they left. But I was just thinking in my head. I'm just like, yep, this is a good way to go. Like, so, yeah. And it was well known that banshees used to, like, supposedly it was a myth at the time that banshees would roam the tunnels and would go after the criminals that were in that area to kind of, you know, go after them and
that's one hell of a death penalty.
Yeah, so yeah, they would do that down. Anyway, so let's get back to the banshee. They take it very seriously over there and they like us to use but to me I think it's more of likely of a selling strategy, but you know, it could be both. So legend has it in some areas, sometimes the banshee assumes the form of some sweet singing virgin who died or was killed young. They are given the task for the as a forerunners or the bringers of the damned and are doomed to all mortal kin. Some people see her as an old frail lady crouched beneath a tree, her face usually covered by a veil. Some people say she can fly and is seen on full moons flying, crying and wailing for her next victim. The cries of the banshee are said to be mournful and nothing like anyone has ever heard before. It is how you know you've been chosen by the banshee to be the next victim.
Wow.
So in some tales in parts of Ireland and Scotland, a banshee is sometimes a woman, though called a fairy, or can be a ghost, often is a murdered woman or a mother who died in childbirth. It is believed by many that she only appears to the selected names such as O'Neill, O'Connor, or anything with O's of that fact. So
O'Brien.
Yeah, O'Brien, anything that has O in the beginning of it, you are likely to be fucked, is what they're saying.
Hyphen or
yeah,
O so, apostrophe, I mean.
Yeah, basically. So let's get on to, you know how you mentioned about the kneeing?
Yeah.
So this actually plays a very important role. I wanted to learn a little bit more about this. So I wanted to jump on to mention earlier about the screams in Ireland and parts of Scotland. A traditional part of mourning is something called the kneeing woman, or the one who wails a lament in Ireland. I actually got the Irish words for it. But because I love Ireland so much, I'm not going to butcher it or try attempt to say this. So I'm going to say the English translation of it, which is basically to weep is to wail. Mm. So they'll say this in Gaelic and they'll just this is a woman that literally they pay her to do this. So this is an actual profession and the best kneers are usually in the highest of demand. They would get paid very, very well, and they are usually treated with a lot of respect. So this is where the origin of the banshee is said to have come from. In the medieval times, during a funeral, a woman would take one of the role of the kneer. Kneers would sing or cry at the gravesite. The louder they were, the better it would to attract more people to the funeral. And the more people at a funeral, the greater the person was said to be.
Wow.
So this is where the origins of the banshee are said to have started from. So For the most powerful families, it was common belief that a banshee or a fairy woman would come to Ni at the grave, fairies presumably being more talented singers than any human. Originally, the banshee appeared to people who were about to suffer a violent or painful death, such as a murder. In later stories, she wailed outside the door at night, but was rarely seen. Most believe this was just an old wives' tale, but it was just barn owls calling in the night. So a lot of times when you would hear wailing, they would be like, okay, it's a barn owl. Or it could be a banshee. So
somebody's come to visit. Be careful.
So here's a little sugar cube that I actually found out. So I thought this was hilarious. When I heard about this, I laughed pretty hard. So most Niers were actually paid in alcohol. And would end up as elderly alcoholic women that were banished from towns and villages.
So they're the town drunk.
Yeah, basically.
So they got hired to go weep and cry.
And wail and sing.
As loud as possible and get paid in alcohol for it.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, that's one hell of a life. Job,
yeah.
So a banshee's neighing, their screams have much debate. Some say it's a high shrill that can shatter glass. Further north, it is said that she sounds more like two boards being struck together, while in Kerry, which is another part in Ireland, her calls are a low, pleasant singing. Whatever her sound is, it is something that you've never heard before. It is usually a distance away, and you usually die after hearing it. So, legend has it that the banshee is a fairy woman who would sing if a family member died or was about to die. Even if the person had died away from the family, hundreds of miles away, if the family members heard this, it was either someone was going to die or someone had died that was in the family.
Oh, wow.
See, it was like them bringing news of their death, in other words. It could also mean that the death has not yet to come. In this case, it would be a warning that the household had a death coming soon. So, to prepare for it, basically. The banshee also is a predictor of death. If someone is about to enter a situation where it is unlikely they will come out alive, she will warn the people by screaming or wailing, giving a rise to a banshee, also known as a wailing woman. When more than one banshee appears, which can happen, and is reported to have happened, it means someone great or holy is about to pass away.
Oh, wow.
It is also a similar story of the banshee known as the Bean Knight or Washing Woman, but it's more common in Scotland folklore than in Ireland. Instead of wailing or crying at night to warn someone of a death, she would instead wash the bloody clothes of the person who's about to die in the local water source. So if you see your waters turn red and you see an old woman washing clothing, she's basically saying you're going to die.
Wow.
Yeah, this
that's creepy.
Yeah, so her appearance was generally thought to be the same, although she was sometimes washing her own bloody clothes instead of someone else's clothes, because that means she was going to kill you, so she's washing your blood off of her. I thought that was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So some say banshees move off into the darkness with a fluttering sound, almost like that of a bird wings, hence why a lot of people confuse the banshee with barn owls, because they screech like them and sound like them. They say if you hear fluttering of wings, it is a banshee running as if they don't like, because they also don't like interacting with people. They would prefer to stay away with them because it also means that it's not your time to go, and they're only there to go after people who are, you know, it's their time, not anyone else's. They don't want to be around you if they're like, why am I around you? There's no point. So the only reason why a banshee would be around is because someone you know or someone, they're there to take someone. Otherwise, they'll run away from you.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I learned, actually, even though I know a lot about the banshee, there was a lot of things that I learned when I looked up this history. Mm. So in popular culture, the banshees are found in all sorts of stories and TV shows like Supernatural. I've seen that TV series 1,001 times. I think the banshee shows up at least twice. They have made tons of movies based off the banshee. They are monsters of dark magic and evil fairies. The creatures are everywhere in D&D and other games as well. If anyone plays D&D, they are weak to iron and salt, by the way. Just a little.
Well, fairy.
Yeah, they're weak to iron and salt.
Or fae creatures are supposed to be weak to iron in
yeah. general. So there's a popular melodic power, or there's a very popular power metal band in the 1980s that was also known as the Banshee. There's an indie wave band in Genova. It's a garage rock band. Needless to say, the name Banshee is quite popular. I saw at least 10 different bands with the name Banshee in it, or Banshee as their name. There's song titles with it as well over the place. I think there's even a car brand with the name Banshee, and there is actually a military fighter aircraft known as the Banshee as well. So the Banshee is just a very, very, very popular name. So there's even a book on how to become a Banshee, which I thought was funny and I really want to fucking read. And there are actually, if you look it up online, you can Google it. One of the things is how to become a Banshee. Apparently, there are ways for you to become a Banshee. And I was just like, mind blown. That is amazing. So
does one of them involve going to a funeral, to some like random funeral, and crying as loud as possible,
being drunk and doing that and be like, hire me?
Oh my god.
They have to be Irish though. So yeah, that's the Banshee, really. I mean, I learned a lot of new things when I looked into it, and then there was some things that I thought were pretty friggin' interesting. Other than that, they're not really like scary creatures. Unless you're the person that they're after. But if you're not the person that they're after, then there's nothing for you to worry about. But yeah, I hope you guys like this technically week of the myth, since it was mostly just myths.
Yeah.
This is definitely a shout out to Yelly. We hope to have you maybe one day come back to one of our episodes so you can say hello to all your fans out there.
Yeah.
This was a pretty fun episode. I'm quite buzzed right now and pretty happy. So if you guys like this episode, give us a shout out. We have all social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you guys want to get a hold of us, want to share us your stories, if you've ran into a Jamaican or a Banshee or know anything personal about it, you know, give us a shout out. Go on Instagram, go on to Twitter, or you can email us at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. The email will be in the description, and we hope to hear from you guys. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.